I'm just going to throw out a few thoughts this morning, just with all that's happening, and then maybe we'll try and wrap up and get away a bit earlier this morning. So if you remember the last two mornings, Matthew 25, we had read about the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 virgins were wise, 5 virgins were foolish. The wise, waiting on the bridegroom, took oil in their vessels as well as their lamps. Could someone close that door for me, please? It's going to bang about there. Thank you. Thank you. The wise took oil in their vessels as well as their lamps, waiting on the bridegroom. But the foolish took no oil with them, ran out of oil. The bridegroom comes. There's a cry made. Go ye out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the foolish realize that they hadn't any oil in their lamps and couldn't go. And just one verse from chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, though, and it's in verse 9. Pardon me, verse 10. And while they went to buy, that is, the foolish went to buy oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. These are the foolish come, but they're too late. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore. This is the warning of Jesus. This is him warning us, warning people. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The wise said to the foolish to go and to buy. And so they go and buy oil when the bridegroom came. Now, I want to make this plain and clear again. We cannot buy salvation. We cannot buy our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot pay our way to heaven. We are saved by grace. We sang about it in the last song. Saved by grace through faith. And so when they say go buy for yourselves, the idea that the Lord Jesus is telling this parable is it costs something for oil. But what he's saying is you must be ready and have your oil. Oil representing the Holy Spirit in your life. You must be ready, having your vessels, as it were, and your lamps filled. Be wise, because the day of the Lord will come, and there will be many who are caught out. There are those who will be caught out. They will be caught on, while others will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I'm trusting there's no one who comes to this assembly, who's sitting even here this morning, who will be caught out, caught on. But rather, at the coming of the Lord, we will be caught up. Trusting there's none, that the door will be shut, and the Lord would say, I don't know you. You're not coming here. I don't know you. And remember, the word know is to know in an intimate way. Gives the idea of a husband and wife getting married and coming together. I trust there's none who would ever come to Christ Encounters Tabernacle and be here even a length of time and you're caught on. We're caught on in sin. We're caught out not serving, while others are caught up. The Lord Jesus says here in Matthew 25 and verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And with surely things in the world and the way things are progressing, the way the wickedness is getting deeper, the troubles, whether it be Middle East or Eastern Europe, and there's so much more going on. Maybe sometime I'll rehearse these things with you again, because it's been a year nearly since I've updated you. But there's a lot of things going on in the world that people aren't aware of. That generally people aren't aware of. There's even a lot of nations saber-rattling at the minute that it isn't in our news. Anyway, if you listen to the media and the news, you'll get nothing but lies anyway. Mainly. But surely with the way things are, surely there's the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. And imagine everyone here in our meeting, not only this morning, for there are some maybe couldn't make it due to maybe whatever it is at home, maybe problems with their house or whatever with the storm, I don't know. But whether here or there, or people who have been coming here for a length of time, there'll be others obviously in other places, but even here this morning who are not ready, imagine not being saved. Going to look at that this evening. Going to speak this evening on revelation, abomination, and salvation. Going to show you what the Lord says about the saved, about those who commit abomination. And it takes the revelation of the Spirit. We're going to look at that this evening, God willing. I hope there's none this morning who's not saved. Your church won't save you. This church can't save you. This man can't save you. The leadership here can't save you. But not only saved, but Christians going on in God. Intimate with Christ. Look, and I can be guilty as well as others. Sometimes even in the work of God, we can forget the God of the work. And so our relationship is having our vessels, as it were, filled with oil, representing the Holy Spirit. Not only our vessels, but the lamps that light, having our light shine, having our hearts ready and prepared and following and serving and loving the Lord Jesus, being ready should he come even now or call us. So here's the question. In the capacity and the ability that Christ has given us by the Word and the Holy Ghost, where are we, where are you in relationship, and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone has once said that you can measure where people are with God. Well, they say for one that if they come out on a Sunday morning, well, they love the fellowship of the church. If they come out on a Sunday evening, it seems they love their pastor. But if they come out to seek his face in the prayer meeting, it's seemingly that they love the Lord. And whether that's a good way to measure or not, I don't know. But here's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Where are we, as this assembly are, in the presence of the Lord, before God? Where am I? Not a condemnation, just a question. Where are we? So to save running through the whole of Matthew 25 and reading it again for, again, as I said, the storm is getting worse probably after 12:1 round there. How do we buy from verse 9? But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, they say to the foolish. Notice, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And what the Lord Jesus is saying is that the oil, the anointing of the oil, that which gives us the fuel for the fire, for the lamp, for the light, it costs. Now the Holy Spirit, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. But the idea is it costs the believer. And it costs you your time. Costs you your time in a busy life. Time you spend in God's presence. It costs you time when you seek His face to pray. It costs you to be away even from family when you gather together sometimes in the presence of the Lord. It costs you your energy or even maybe your waking hours. If God wakens you out of your sleep and calls you to the place of prayer, it costs us. In other words, it's free, but yet we must go and fill. And Paul says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the idea in the Greek text is be being filled. Keep going for a fresh filling. Keep getting into His presence. Keep seeking His face. Keep reading His word. Keep sanctified from the world. Keep yourself from idols. Be being filled. Keep gathering together with the saints of God. That's how it costs us. It costs you your comfort. For who would want to on a stormy day? Who would want to when it's cold outside? Who would want to when the rain is falling and maybe you're sitting like us with an open fire and your feet are toasting at it? Who would want to leave it to come to get into a car and even to try and get to a meeting? Who would want to do that when you're tired and just finished work during the week? Who would want to do that when our eyes are closing but God calls us to the closet to pray and seek His face? Who would want to do these things or come away from our magazine or even our social media? Whenever the Lord's saying, seek ye my face, and our hearts should say, thy face, Lord, will I seek, but rather we don't. See, it costs us. Here's the advice from your pastor this morning, church. Go and buy oil. Go buy the oil. Give your time. Give your effort. Spend your energy. Go there in the place of prayer and of reading. Come, get in to the car and come to the fellowship. Gather with the saints. Worship His name corporately and privately. It costs you. And the idea of this is that we would be a people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're someone who brings at least two messages a week, say Sunday morning and Sunday night, and you're looking for something to bring from the Lord to the people, you know, I find myself sometimes I'm saying, Lord, the well seems a bit empty. What's happened? I need something for the morning and Sunday for the people, or I need something for the evening when I'm praying, or as I go out walking over a field or something, just to speak with the Lord. I don't go to the internet and look up a sermon and download it, you know. And believe me, there's ones that do that. I have F.W. Dixon from Bournemouth Baptist Church years ago. His sermon outlines and details like this in the house. And have you ever used them? Thankfully, once. Never once. And I could go there and have his sermon and go, here, I could preach that. And I know ones that do. Brothers and sisters, you see, every one of us who are saved have our own well. But some wells are running dry. Some wells have been clogged up with the world, clogged up with work, clogged up with family, clogged up with worries, clogged up with fears. And it clogs up the well. And that's up where the, in Israel and around the Middle East, the sand used to go into the well and they used to put rocks in it and clog it up. And it was a way for the enemy to say, you'll not be here anymore. You'll have no victory anymore here. You'll not have any power over here. You'll not be able to rule around this area. For you've no water. The wells are clogged. We're told when Israel are walking through it with Isaac, Isaac starts digging the wells, unclogging them. Branches and wood and stone and sand and rubble are clogged and there's no water. The people will die. It's like the psalmist says, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And I wonder how many souls this morning are actually thirsty, but thirsting for more of the Holy Ghost and power. I thirst, said the Lord in the way up the road, Lord, I hate my carnal fleshy self. I detest that man. But the man who's walking close to Christ, the man anointed under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, I said, and that man senses the nearness of his presence. I said, now that man I can live with. And that's why Christian man and Christian woman, but Christian man, that's why sometimes you're dry. Christian woman, you're lifeless. Because we become carnal. You know why? Because you haven't dug the wells in a while. What's in my life, Lord, that I need to empty out? What's in my life, Lord, that I need to get rid of? What's in my life, Lord, that I need to throw out? Who's in my life that I need to step back from? Who's in my life, Lord, who's bringing me and influencing me in the wrong ways, the wrong things, and in the wrong direction? What is it, Lord, that is stopping the bubbling up of the fresh, living water of the Holy Spirit of God? And in a similar fashion, we need that oil to burn the lamp. We read in the book of Numbers how Israel come to a clogged well, and they don't have shovels as such, but their staffs, just a round-ended staff, they start trying to dig with it. Imagine trying to dig. It'd be like trying to eat soup with a fork. Digging the sand with the end of their staff. You know what they start doing? Singing. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. And they go singing onto it. And they're all standing around an old stone well while they're digging it, looking for the water coming up. Spring up, O well, spring up, O well. And it's been a long time since there's been many wells have been clogged and they haven't sprung up. So we buy and it costs us time. Time. Effort. Comfort. Listen, sister, see if you're at home and your husband is always an owl, nyerp, a targe. See if he's like a bear, a bitten bear all the time. And he's a Christian man. Do you know what's wrong? Ask him how long it's been since he's went into the presence of God. Ask him how long it's been from he's spent time with the Savior. Ask him how long it's been since he's went to drink fresh water. Ask him, have you gone and bought any oil for the vessel that you might glow and burn and blaze for Christ? Because a man who's aware that he's far from God will be that man who is aggressive, who is angry. who is always and shouting and bawling and getting on. But when a man spends time before the Savior, he comes out different. So does a woman, by the way. We all do. So burning this lamp and this Savior is coming. How's your lamp life? I asked you before, how's your love life? But how's your lamp life? We looked last week at Leviticus 6, and we'll not turn, but verse 13. Remember, the Lord lights the fire. It says, the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God lights the fire on the altar, but the priests had to keep it lit. Effort. Time. They had to be set apart and watchful that it doesn't go out. Like you with your fire at home, if you're like us. I put a big log in last night in the fire. It was about that deep. I filled up the whole fire. And then I thought, I'm going to have to stay up till that burns through. I can't go to bed now. And it took about 3 hours. It was a big thing about solid big bit of wood. But I watched it and I watched it to make sure it burned well and it burned right. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, you must be have oil in your vessels as well as your lamps. And the price of oil is all of those things we have mentioned. He says, when I light the fire on the altar, he says, you have to keep it lit. And you know, the priest just didn't sit back and watch. You know, it'd be like watching paint dry, wouldn't it? Just sitting watching a flame all day. They had to go and take the ashes out, rake the fire out, the altar out, but make sure they keep it lit. In other words, they had to be more meticulous with things. And they are, the altar is, for us in the new covenant, is the altar of our hearts. That God has set a fire in our spirits when he saved us by his grace. God starts the journey for us, the new life in Christ for us. God comes down, as it were, and he regenerates us. Puts his spirit in us. Sets us on fire, and we start to remember the first love, the first burning flame in your heart for God. Do you remember that? I also don't tell you, I done things I wasn't even attached to. You know, we were out every night, prayer meetings and Bible studies and everything else, and there were house groups, and not right, Frida? I've seen you there many a time you were singing. Saturday night, Friday night, prayer meeting Friday night, going back, I'll go back like Hebrew from right to left here. Friday night prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting, a Bible study, Monday night prayer meeting, youth all day, children's meetings in the Saturday afternoon. The youth was on at night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school in the afternoon. Other meetings on a Saturday night if we didn't do the youth every night or go to the youth every night. But it was on all the time. And our hearts were alive. And even Pastor McConnell used to announce from the pulpit, just like Andrew did today, the things that were happening even in the church. And do you know what he said? Listen, brothers and sisters, see, if you went to everything here, you wouldn't have time to backslide. You wouldn't have time to backslide. You know why? Because you were focused on the things of God. You were fixed on Christ. But now our hearts and our minds are fixed on everyone and on everything else. And as Jesus said to the Ephesian church, that is in Revelation chapter 2, he mentions all the good things that they're doing. And you see, they're about second, some are third generation Christians. By this time that John is getting this letter to write, to give to the church. And Jesus says to them, you've done this and that and the other, but that's not what he says. But I have somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left
thy first love? Or you've stopped loving me the way you used to? Is there someone here, or maybe it's all of us here, including this man, that you've stopped loving Jesus the way you used to? And listen, I just have to check my heart. Because there's more expected of me even than there is of you. Because I will give an account for this morning when I stand before him. He says, you stopped loving me the way you used to. So their hearts had died out, and so you had the first church of Ephesus. Paul writes to it, the book of Ephesians. It's a young church. And then as time goes on, we have this, maybe the next generation coming, and the children maybe were at the church, and people were getting saved, and the families were going on with God. And what happened was, by this time, people started to be fixed in the work, but be forgetting the Lord of the work. They were starting to look outside to everything else rather than be fixated and enamored with adoration for Jesus. And the living Christ, the exalted, glorified, living Savior says, but I have somewhat against thee. You've stopped loving me the way you used to. You've left your first love. Oh God, help us. Help me, Lord, to love you with a first love. The way when he first ignited your heart. The way when he first set you on fire. On fire for God. I remember that we were doing that much. I was even driving a minibus for the scouts. I wasn't even in the scouts. And Alison says to me one time, do you not think even you and I could spend at least one evening together? And I says, oh, don't be starting that now. Bringing me away from the work of God. But she was right. Because after Christ, she's my work. She's my ministry. And then this place. These Ephesians, their heart had died, their love had gone, and went cold and indifferent, some of them. And Jesus says, what about me? Remember your first love. Remember the first infilling. Remember the first time I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that, son? He says, oh, hi, Lord, and I miss it. He says, well, here's the filling. He's still the same. Who's changed? Him or me? Me. Who wanders? Him or me? Me. Who moves from our relationship? Him or me? Me. I do. It's me. And the Lord says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. So in a way to close this, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy, please. Because things are starting to pick up. I'm going around this. We'll get away home. And God willing, if you want to brave it tonight, I understand if you don't now. But if you want to brave it tonight, we're down in the building at 6. From 5:30 anyway. Second Timothy, please. Verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on off my hands. See that term, stir up? Stir up the gift of God. Well, it's a big word, anazoporeo. Let me break it down for you. We'll get the grips with this. The Bible speaks of stirring up throughout the scripture. But this one's different, even in the New Testament. The other ones are in 2 Peter 1 and 13 and 2 Peter 3 and 1. And the stir up there is different. It gives the idea to arise up and do something, you know, stir yourself up. But this is different because we're stirring up the gift of God. The other one is, come on, wake up. Get up and wake up. Stir up. But this one is about the gift of God. So this big Greek word is ana, which means up or again. Ana means up or again. And then there's zonon, and it means to be alive. Take it up and be alive. But then it adds a word, a little word, pur. And it's simply P-U-R in our English rendering for, and it means fire. Fire. That's different, isn't it? The other ones mean just to get up and to arise from sleep or bed, or even when Jesus says to get up and arise from sickness. It's the idea, get up. But this one is to stir up something, to stir up our hearts. And it means again, alive or fire. It means kindle afresh. Keep in full flame. Notice, keep in full flame your heart. God has set your heart with the gift of the Holy Ghost on fire. And fires go out when they're not attended to. Now, I'm not saying you lost your salvation. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the nearness, the consciousness, the anointing, the blessing, having the vessel and the lamps filled with oil, having the well dug, the flowing water, the power of the flame is the Holy Ghost. Paul is saying to Timothy, I laid hands on you, son, and the Holy Ghost came upon you, and you were on fire for God, passionate and ablaze with the Holy Spirit. Remember that, brother? Do you remember it, sister? See, it's the difference between religion and salvation. That's the difference between being saved, as it were, and stuck, and saved, and blazing for God. Heart blazing. I remember there's nothing I wouldn't do. Still like that anyway, but I'm just finding it harder as I'm getting older, that's all. It's not as easy to do some things. But I used to be on fire. So it gives the idea that the gift of God here, that blazing fire of the Spirit, and not losing your salvation now, but the blazing fire of the Spirit is capable of dying out through neglect. The priests, the fire was lit. They had to rake it out and they had to sort it out and they had to build it up again. And it had to keep going. The Lord says, I'll light it, you keep it lit. I'll light it, you do your part. I'll light it. Your prayers, I remember one time, I think it was Pastor Michael Bunting was preaching maybe. And he says, listen, young man, he says, you're praying, Lord, give me a job, give me a job. He says, well, the Lord says, you pray for a job and go and look for one and I'll bring it along your way. Don't sit at home, put prayer legs to your prayers. Put legs to our prayers, brothers and sisters. Stir up the gift. Be active in service, pressing on in God. You know, it's just another sermon and something either convicted me or convinced me. I even felt to condemn me. I don't want it ever to do that with you. The only ones under condemnation are those that aren't saved and don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And that's what the Bible says. Jesus said that. and said that they that believeth in him, the Lord Jesus, are not condemned. But they that believeth not are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only difference. Mike, would you let the children come up, please? We're going to get away. But the fire and the passion, Paul says to Timothy, it's like the fire, the altar of Leviticus 6. God has set you on fire. The gift of God, he's saying, stir it up until it becomes a blazing fire again. You might say, I've failed him. I'll never get that fire back again. Well, that's a lie for starters. Because the Lord says he'll set the man and the woman, he'll set them back in place with him when they come in repentance and seek his face. That's the end of the price of oil. So what's the price of oil for you today as the children are coming? What's the price for you? Right, I know I've been slacking in the Lord. I've been slacking in my walk. I've been slacking in prayer. I've been slacking in fellowship. I've been slacking. Well, I mean, and please, it's not condemnation, but come on. Stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Some of you are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized, and you've let the Spirit die in you. You've let the flame go out in your life. There's maybe a smoldering ember. Well, thank the Lord, he says, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. Come on, stir it up again. Stir it up under the glory of God. May God bless you this morning. Team, come up. By the time we get up and sing, the kids will be here. We'll get away home.